أنا مفتي أبو صاحب، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you. This beautiful Monday morning. May Allah Ta'ala bless you and the family with afiyat and good health. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, your platform is yours.
Amin. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu fiikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to one and all. Alhamdulillah. The fadl and the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us another opportunity, another day, another chance. We really have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, as we are in this time of the year, where the Christians feel that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born in this month, I want to mention some aspects concerning Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, as we have been mentioning recently, alhamdulillah, in the last few occasions. So Allahu Akbar, what a Nabi of Allah from the Anbiya alayhi salam, and who is also from Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the five greatest of Anbiya alayhi salam. Every Nabi of Allah is so special, is so great. But Allah ta'ala highlights five of them. But every one of them are special. That's why the Quran al-Kareem defends all the Anbiya alayhi salam. That's why we believe that every one of them were ma'asum and preserved and protected by Allah from any sin or crime. Quran al-Kareem defends them, like we discussed in the previous month, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends all the Anbiya alayhi salam, how the Quran defends Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. Imagine the Quran even defends Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, because it's mentioned in the Bible certain things about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, even though he's praised more, but there are certain aspects, like for example raising his voice loudly against his mother, where he says to her, "Woman," and he was quite vulgar with her. But the Quran al-Kareem actually speaks of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam to be very kind. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا. And Allah has made me righteous and kind to my mother, and not haughty nor wretched. So the Quran came to defend the personalities of all the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. So a wisdom behind why the satanic forces got into the lives of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam and distorted information concerning them. The reason for that was for people to lose trust in the greatest of people. Now, if the person you follow and emulate starts perpetrating such hideous crimes, na'udhu billah, your little child goes to a certain school and the teacher starts touching the children incorrectly, inappropriately, it will alarm your attention. It will bring great concern to you. You will do something about it. You will go to the principal. If such habits carry on, you will worry now even further. You will take your child out of that school. So what happens is, that's a teacher. Now, doubt is casted in such a person's life when such perpetrations take place. So in the same way, Anbiya alayhi salam are falsely accused. Now the Quran came to defend them, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why the Quran is so perfect and pure. So what happens to people believing in these scriptures? Some of them denounce faith completely and they leave religion. They become atheists, agnostics, because they feel irrelevant. And others actually start justifying wrongs. The wrongs that they wouldn't perpetrate normally. But now, Allah forbid. Yeah, it's mentioned that a messenger of Allah perpetrated such a crime. Got a man killed because he loved his woman, which is not true, na'udhu billah. Or his daughters saw him in a certain state. They made him drunk and they took turns and slept with him. So things like that, which is not true. So people then give up. So either they give up and lose hope, or they justify the wrongs that they perpetrate and feel, if such noble people perpetrated this with no fear of repercussion, There's no harm at all. So Allah save us. That's why Allah gave the Quran, which is the final testament, which is the book of Allah, which is pure, which is in its pristine form. The book is infallible, and it is for humanity to benefit. So alhamdulillah, and that is what we would exhort everyone when you're traveling, wherever you're going in the world, go with the Quran, practice the Quran, recite the Quran, the Quranic Kareem, and try and make the message of the Quran and the Sunnah available to the world. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, such a Nabi of Allah, and so many incidents about his life we discussed. Something I want to tell you about him and his disciples. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned with his disciples in the Quran, his Hawariyin. And they were righteous. They were his Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. They were pious people. He had very few of them, 12 of them. Alhamdulillah, he traveled to different areas with them, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. Alhamdulillah. But it's also clear where he said to his disciples, go to the lands of the Israelites. And that's also something interesting. The Quran says that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was sent to the Bani Ismail. The Bible also said that he was sent to the Israelites, and he even sent his disciples to teach them and help them. So Anbiya alayhi salam was sent for specific times, for specific communities. Different Anbiya were sent for different communities. He wasn't sent for the whole world. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent for humanity in totality. That's why in the Bible it's mentioned clearly that even the Greek woman came to him holding on to his cloak, and he pulled away his cloak and she was crying for his help. So one of the disciples, the companion, said that, help her. So he said, I cannot. And I cannot take the bread of the children and toss it to the dogs. So, interestingly, we don't believe that everything in the Bible is true, because something like this, it seems contrary to the image of the Anbiya alayhi salam. But yes, it's clear that he came to the Bani Israel, but this was not the attitude of the Anbiya alayhi salam, referring to people as, as the Gentiles, as dogs. Now, interestingly, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sent for the whole world, for all times, for all people, for all colors, for all nationalities, for all races. So on one occasion, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was with a certain disciple, a certain companion, and he wanted to teach his companion not to lie, because this person, this individual, had a habit of lying. So probably this person was a hypocrite. So they travel together. They get to a certain point where Hazrat Isa alayhi salam went aside to perform salah, and this person performed with him. After some time, he prolonged his prayer, his salah, and this person was sitting awaiting him. After some time, this person took bread, 3 loaves of bread, and this person took one and partook of it, devoured it. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam completed. He asked him, that, what did you do? He said, nothing. But he's seeing 2 loaves left. He says, what happened to the third? The man says, no, I don't know what happened to it. So he says, just speak the truth. There's nothing wrong with that. He says, no, I don't know. Anyway, they continued their journey. But this man hadn't learned the importance of truthfulness yet. So as they continue, they come across a huge river. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam holds his hand and they traverse through. They go and cross the river. This was a miracle. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, this man was amazed. How did you do that? He says, I'll mention to you, but tell me, to speak the truth. He says, I don't know. If you're talking about the bird, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, they continued. Until finally, after a few incidents that took place, they finally passed an area that was in the wilderness, and it comprised of 3 boulders. and not ordinary boats, three rocks of gold. So the man was surprised, ecstatic, happy. Whose is this? One is yours, one is mine, one is for he who ate the third loaf. Now, all along, Isa was trying to get him to speak the truth. But he was not prepared to. Now, when it came to some worldly benefit, a great amount of worldly benefit, a rock of gold, he says, you know, I partook of it. You know, I can remember it was me. Just because of the money, just because of the gold. He wasn't doing it for Allah, that individual. That's why there was hypocrisy there. After some time, Isa alayhi salam says, you know, in that case, you'll either stay with this money and do not join me further. And he continued, because this man preferred the wealth over the company of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. As Isa alayhi salam left him, this man is sitting there in a great concern. How is he going to take his gold home? So he awaits there. And after some time, there was another three individuals that passed that way. They see this one man sitting, surrounded by three rocks of gold, big stones. What they did was, they put the one man away. And then was like, oh, he nearly there. They killed it. And they sat now to take the gold. And they were going to share it one each. But what they decided is, let us partake of meals, and then we could take our gold and we'll also acquire some strength to carry it home. So they did this, and they sent each other, they sent one of them, go to the community nearby, give the money, purchase the food. And as the one individual is en route to that area, he's wondering, how will he be able to put an end to them so he can have everything? So he purchased the food, but he also purchased poison along with it. And the two that were sitting there were in their wonder that how could we get rid of the one? So at least we'll share the three between us. And what happened here was he purchased the meal, he brought it, but he brings it to where they were. They put an end to him because this was their plan to kill him. And they will share the gold. And now they sit to eat before they depart. And when they eat the poisoned food, they also die. Subhanallah. So actually, all of them are lying there, and the gold is lying there. Sometime later, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam passes through that area, and there were true people with him, sincere companions. Radiallahu anhum. He says to them, did you see, this is the parable of this world. This is how the world will treat he who hankers and chases behind it. So there's an amazing phrase. It's a report where Allah, in the previous books where Allah addresses the world. O dunya, he who serves me, serve him. من خدمني فخدميه ومن خدمك فاستخدميه. But he who serves you, enslaving. Allah save us from being enslaved by this world. That's why every one of us should analyze that, are we Allah's slaves or are we hankering behind this world? Put Allah first. How we'll analyze it is, are we prepared to put Allah first? Yes, we have to earn, we have to work, but remember, that is not before Allah's command. That is our necessity, our need. That is basically the need we have. You're traveling from here, and you're going to your destination. You're going from Newcastle to Limpopo, Petersburg, or you're going to Johannesburg. Now, on the way, you feel for a cup of coffee, you stop and have a cup of coffee. You're not going to spend hours or a few days having that cup of coffee. That's just a basic necessity. You have to get onto your road. Then maybe en route, you needed to relieve yourself. You stop, you relieve yourself. You're not going to stay all day relieving yourself. You fulfill your need, you get back in, you carry on. Alhamdulillah. So the purpose is you have to continue towards your destination. Every one of us, our destination is Allah's is Allah's, is the akhirah, to make the Allah happy, to fulfill Allah's command. So in the same way, as we're living, we are travelers in this world. That's why I mentioned recently the dua of the traveler and the etiquettes of traveling. We should learn those du'as, and we should remember our purpose. As we travel also in the world, we should remember, this is the lesson, that in life we all are travelers. Dunya ke e musafir, O traveler of this world. Your destination is the grave. So now as much as we can, prepare for the grave, beautify the grave. How? With actions, with amal, with good deeds. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion was traveling with some companions, and from a distance there was a highway robber who notices him and sees Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and his heart softens, meaning the robber, the highway robber's heart softens on seeing Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. When this happens, he approaches Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. But there was one individual who also joined Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, but started feeling, you know, a disregard for that other individual, probably due to the wrong the other individual had perpetrated. But this person felt, who is he to come here by us? How dare he? And then he felt this haqara, tahqir, belittlement. He felt that this other individual is low and worthless. And as that individual approached Isa alayhi salam, and really sincerely trying to repent, sincerely trying to change, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam, say to both of them to restart. So Isa alayhi salam asked for an elaboration. The one who was perpetrating crimes, but he was regretful over the wrongs that he had done, and he was seeing you and wanting to change his life, that intention of changing and that aspiration to become better and regret and tawbah, Allah has forgiven him. He must restart a life of righteousness and Allah consciousness and Allah's obedience. But the other, who looks down upon others and thinks he is better and belittles others, that also nullifies him, and he must also restart. So from here we learn, never look down upon Allah's creation and aspire to help people change. If somebody is trying, alhamdulillah, give a person that opportunity. And we have to also worry. There's an amazing incident about Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Muhammad Sima rahmatullah alayh, where he was traveling down the road with some students, and they passed, you know, by the robot, a man or two who was in his drunkenness swaying and just about collapsing. So the students started laughing. So Hazrat Mawlana said to them, why would you laugh? He said, can you see this despicable sight? Hazrat said, don't look at anyone with the eye of haqara, belittlement. Don't look at anyone condescendingly, looking down upon them, because you know what? We don't know in which condition we will die in. They could become the greatest of awliya, and you and I could be deprived of iman. And that's why I mentioned this, and I want to mention it again. I had a program recently, very recently, and a wonderful youngster comes and says, I have to speak to you, because what you said was so true. I was in this school, and the non-Muslims made me feel so comfortable, so respectful. Then I went into another school where they were only Muslims, and they were learning the Quran. You know, basically, even the name was, you know, such. And I don't want to take names and so forth, but I want us to make sure that we work on our akhlaq and the akhlaq of our children. And the way those boys made me feel like an outcast, laughing at me, judging everything, how you'll come to school, who will bring you to school, in which conveyance you brought to school. Ya Allah. And then I mentioned to them that, you know, y'all are my brothers, we are Muslims. Why would you make another Muslim feel that way? And they started laughing at me more and gossiping about me. And as this child was speaking, Ya Allah, he was so sad that he was getting an attack. And I was so worried. I went into the masjid to see if there was a doctor. And he comes there and he sits with this youngster and he gets him to speak because that memory of... And then he's also asking me after the Alhamdulillah, I was feeling better. He's saying that, imagine those non-Muslims also. They deserve the message of Islam. Make the deen available to them also. And this is really... Let's establish the halaqa of ta'aleem in our homes. Let's teach our children. Don't look down upon any of Allah's creation. Teach our children from young. My child, you see an elderly person, greet. You see a person in need, stop and help. You know, uplift people. Don't look down upon people. Allah loves the way we treat others with respect, with kindness, with khidmah. Khidmah is a quality Allah loves. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man sabaqahum bi khidmah, lam yasbiquhu bi amalin illa shahada." The one who aspires and supersedes others in khidmah, none will supersede him except he who is accepted for shahada and martyrdom in Allah's way. Otherwise, khidmah is the greatest. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah preserve the ummah in Gaza. May Allah help the people of Sham. Subhanallah, the land of Sham, where people were suffering for so many years, Ya Allah. May Allah help them. May Allah uplift them. May Allah make it easy for them now that such a tyrant has been removed. May Allah make it easy for the people. Give them good leaders. Put khair for them. Allah help them and all of us to connect to His deen, because it's clear, very, very importantly, we should remember the hadith Qudsi, where Allah says, "O my bando, ana malikul muluk wa malikul muluk. I am the king of kings, the owner of your kings and the king of your kings." Now, Allah is owner also, king also. That's why in Surah Fatiha, the two qira'at are maliki yawmiddin, maliki yawmiddin. The king, master, owner of the day of judgment, and the king of the owner of the day of judgment. Allah is king, Allah is owner. Sometimes the man who owns certain properties, but the king rules the land. He doesn't own the properties that another person owns. And sometimes the person is the president and he's not the owner. Sometimes the person is the owner of those properties and he doesn't rule the land. Allah is the owner also, king also, ruler also. So Allah says, "I am the king of kings. The hearts of your rulers are in my hands. When my bando, inna la ibada idha ata'u me, when my servants turn to me, obey me, abide by my command, I will give them soft, good rulers. And they will treat them well, respectfully, kindly, fairly. And when my bando are defiant of my command and of my deen, I will make the rulers against them harsh and cruel, and they will punish them and torture them. At that time, turn to me, so I will protect you from their harm." So every one of us need to turn to Allah, and we need to, alhamdulillah, make dua for Sham. What Mubarak lands are Sham, subhanallah. One of the greatest of khilafas was in Sham, the Banu Umayyad dynasty, subhanallah. Inshallah, sometime we'll discuss what an amazing dynasty that was, starting from Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, who was also from the Banu Umayyah, and then from Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and how they took Islam far and wide, and how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The lands of Sham are such, the malaika of Allah are extending their hands on Sham." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The abdal are from Sham." So subhanallah, Allah give us all tawfiq to make dua for each other, to tear for each other, and Allah help us change. Allah help us become better. Whatever is happening in the world now should open our eyes to become better human beings. And also, please, wherever we're traveling in the world, don't harm people. Stop for salah if we're using the tap facilities. You know, don't mess up there. After we finish, wipe it. You know, if we caused anybody inconvenience, apologize. Make our salah. Don't hide it from people. Make it available. Show people how beautiful Salah is and explain to them, this is how we pray. We're not worshipping the sun, the moon, the trees. We worship the Almighty God. And tell them, this is how Isa alayhi salam prayed. In Matthew, it's clear. And Isa alayhi salam put his head on the ground, and he totally submitted to Allah. He said, "Oh my Lord, let this happen. Let this cup pass from me. Not as I will, but as thou wilt." So clearly this is an indication to submission, and Islam means submission. So if we're looking for the way of Isa alayhi salam, he didn't even mention Christianity. There's no mention of Christianity in the entire Bible. There is mention of Islam, submission. See, they don't even know the meaning of Islam. But respected Ummah, how were they supposed to know? It's supposed to be our duty, our responsibility. There's no Nabi to come. So let's get on with our duties, inshallah. And let's do it with beauty, do our duties with beauty, and make the deen available to the world. Jazakum Allahu khairan for the opportunity. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.